going to start the recording since I didn't log in first. Okay. What is this? 4:30?
Yep.
4:30. Yes. 4:30. So since we have all of our equipment out to wow ups and stuff. So I guess the first thing I need to do is share my screen. Okay, share screen. And I need to share this one. All right, now you can see that, right? And I'm sharing the screen. And this brightness on this thing is not. Do you want to turn the lights off? Maybe that would help. You guys don't mind being a little darker, maybe. I can't see my, is that going to be okay for you guys? Okay. It's better for me to see here. Okay, so I'm assuming use hide video panel, hiding photo controls. Okay, so I got that. And not sure what that is. Okay, let's see if I can do this. I assume everything went all right last week. I know if anybody online, you can see this, right? I put the link for the exam. It's like the quizzes. So I see Jen and Christian took it, but if anybody wants to take it, it's online, but it's password protected, so it should be, let's see if I remember, it's N555DS, and then exam one in lowercase. Let me throw that in the chat in case anybody wants to do that, if I can figure out how to do the chat. Okay, now I gotta hide the controls again. So, right, that should be it. So I put in chat. I did look at them and I was going to go over the exam stuff, but I didn't bring the questions. So maybe we'll do that on Thursday, or maybe I can talk to people individually. But if more people take it, then I get more of a, see what our hard questions were. The other thing, let's see here. And it did not upload my other stuff. Okay, I think I gotta go get my presentation now because it's supposed to be on there. It's like last time. You guys can ponder looking at the instruments at Wallops. And I'll be right back with the presentation.
So that photo was sent today. Mm-hmm. That's almost live.
Yeah, that was sent this morning.
Did like the cats can watching the cats looking on the outside.
Chris is still there.
Mm-hmm. They said he was going to be your new personal.
Really?
Which I would wonder how it's going
to work. I'm all for it.
Yeah?
I'm all for it. and he got all the LDL, FNLDN data for X. LDN.
Over in the library,
first. What is it?
Charged particles.
It's from the 1950s.
Oh.
Okay, I'm back. Well, it only took about a week to get to Wallops, huh? And did you guys or did they you wrapped it? I'm not sure if my strap stayed on there or not. Well, with the wrap, but I don't know. It looks like a couple of them are a little bit loose. But it only took about a week to get there, even with the... not too bad. And it doesn't look like there's anything noticeably damaged, so... should be set. And I'll do it this way. We'll do this again on Thursday, maybe. I tried to update some of my slides and got interrupted. So, let's see if this even and I think you have to do the other quiz, right? Is there one more quiz? Did we do all the quizzes? Yes. We got the article quiz. Oh, and I got your RABs, but I was doing in papers and stuff and I haven't looked at your RABs on my list. So. Let's see how this looks. Oh, well, that displays on there. You see that? But all right, problem with this is that everybody switched to the widescreen 16:9 format instead of the 4:3 that we used to use when I first made this lecture. So the sides are cut off, but I'm updating it so we can get this. I wanted to talk a little bit about the liquid water probes and start talking about that today and probably continue on Thursday once I update this lecture. And one thing too is we'll probably work on with the WCM I've been working this morning is that it calculates the total liquid water content in real time. But sometimes because it doesn't get the right data, it's happened to two people now that it doesn't have the D one files. And Jen, you said that happened to us once too, or what? Do we always get the D1 files from Oracle?
Yeah, we get the D1 files, the WCM.
Yeah. So, yeah. But some people, if you don't send it the airspeed or something, it doesn't generate the D1 files. It just generates the D0 file, which is the raw voltage measurements. So we're working on updating that. So this is a little bit old. I'm updating this, but liquid water content determines, it's important for precipitation formation, basic parameter. We do this with ISIN studies, aircraft ISIN studies, so you can measure it there. We typically measure that with the Rice probe. And I guess now, did I tell you guys, they are going to let us fry the second rice now? So after asking repeatedly that we couldn't fry it, now we magically can. However, because a project with Citation has been delayed this fall, we may only have it for half of impact. So we'll see how that works out. But suppose we can fry it and we'll see how long it gets them to get it on there. But we told them, put it on as a low priority. So we'll see if we have the second rice to compare with liquid water. And we can compare measurement techniques, and that's what I'll talk about a little bit today. So we talked previously about the cloud droplet probe. Oh, I think that's supposed to be pie. Funny looking pie in my equation. This is why I need to update my slides. So if you remember, your formula for a volume of a sphere, it's supposed to be pi over 6d³. And if you sum up all the number of particles that we divide up into the different channels for the liquid water content. So in the WCM, how many channels do we have?
WCM.
Oh, sorry. In the CDP, cloud droplet probe. So M would be 30. So I would be 1 to 30 here. And density of water is in there to convert from a volume to the mass. So you would get the units would be grams of water per cubic centimeter, cubic meter, is a volume, so grams per volume. I think we usually put in grams per meter. Okay, so that is the liquid water, and so the I guess I'll skip a little bit and come back to actually how we calculate it. Let's see if this is, I don't know that this is going to, not responding. Well, I'm supposed to be over here. Uh-oh, crash my program. Wait till program responds. Okay, we'll try this again. Are you guys still there online? My program crashed.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, the presentation program crashed, so let's try this again. And I'm trying to find... Maybe I skip around the order. A little bit. and we'll come back to it. Okay, I need to. Okay, I'll put these sprays up here until we get the new version, or if you look at the other presentation, these are the hot wire probes. So the King probe is given here, and so we have one of them on the aircraft. And then also given is what we call a DMT hot wire probe. This would be in the CAPS probe, for example, that we are definitely not flying now. So these hot wires here, and it's similar to the wire on the WCM. And the wires are heated to maintain a constant temperature. In the case of the King, it's 185 Celsius. And the DMT one, I believe it's 140 or 145. I'm not sure. I have to look in a manual, but that's what the WCM does too, is typically we can set that to 120, 140 Celsius. So we are running that. So I will show you the equations, which is basically the first one is what you would have before, where you would sum up the distributions. I guess I do have a pi in here correctly. On these, and this is basically the way the King probe does it. On these distributions, you have a measured power. So if you have these hot wires, they maintain a temperature. And to maintain that temperature, you have to supply it so much energy and power is energy per second. So we have a measured power that we record to keep and maintain that temperature. And there's a bridge in there that maintains that. So that measured power, we divide up into two power terms, a dry term and a wet term. So the dry term is what you would get if you're not in crowds. Okay, so this is due to the conductivity of the air, conduction of the air for removing heat from that wire. So the faster you go, the more the dry term is. So if you see the dry term is next, you have this TS and TA, temperature of a sensor wire and the temperature of the air. So it's a difference of these two temperatures. So if you make that temperature difference a little bit bigger, you have a little bit more sensitivity. And so you have the, you need to know the air temperature. So we measure that with Rosemount probe or on the aircraft for impacts, we just take and get it from the through the network on the data system that we have. Then there's the density and true airspeed of the aircraft. Sorry, the true airspeed is a V here. And then density, rho, is the density of the air in this case. So you have to calculate that density based on the pressure and temperature. And then there's two kind of fit constants, C and A. A would just be an offset for the where you would be at 0 point, and C is the what we call calibration constant. So what we do is we can change the true airspeed and out of crowd and get a whole bunch of data points and fit that data to the data.
To the B, is that so PV, is that a row B or is that just power times?
That's the density.
That's the density.
Okay. Yeah. That's the density of the air. Sorry, I kind of didn't explicitly label that.
What is the X?
Yeah, that's another constant. So
fudge factors.
So them are fit constants that you would get by varying the basically the true airspeed. So we were trying to do multiple runs in dry air outside of cloud and get this fuzz factor. And you can put in a density and try to get that correct. But there's one thing I guess I would tell you and remind you is that typically also depends a little bit, the density does a little bit on humidity. But we don't take that into account, and it's usually not a problem because the humidity doesn't change very much in dry air. But that density term does have a humidity term in it. Anyway, we do that. I'll show you a fit to the data, at least for the King probe, and we should do some of these Calrens. And then the power for the wet term is given by this other equation. And let's see here, we have M is the liquid water content. So that's what we want to solve this for. So that's what we'll solve. LD are related to the diameters of the wire and the length of the wire. V again is the true airspeed. So if you have more true airspeed, you will have more power. LV is latent heat of vaporization. And then you got calibration constant, again, CW. TV is the sensor water vaporization temperature. And then you got the air temperature. So that TV is a little bit of a unknown in terms of what that temperature is, where the water is evaporating at. And so you can put the two equations together and solve for the liquid water concentration. And I guess I'll show you any questions on the equations thing. Get everything?
I'm sorry if I missed this, but what is the P and the P times V raised to the X?
That's the density of air.
Okay, so that's a row. Well, that's different from the row W. I just didn't see it on the.
Can you wiggle the probably on the other side? You have to. All right, to come back. Yeah, a monitor needs to be
wiggled. Yeah, that makes sense. I just didn't see row air on the
list. Yeah, I didn't label that. I should adjust that so that I got the densities. Anyway, let's see here. This is some old calibration data. From 2008, if you see the flight number up there for the hot wire King probe. So when we do the calibration flights, and I relate this to King voltage, the power is just 10 times the voltage. So you can think of the y-axis is related to the power term here. And you see some variation here, and then you have the air density, airspeed times the density. And I think you see kind of one fit line in here, but it's like two of them that are really obvious there. And that seems to be with the different densities. And we weren't, you know, you never even get it quite right in terms of the density for this variation. Okay. So let's see here. I think I want to go back. So let me go in different order now. Just to show you well, don't lock up on me again. All right, are we there? Oh, my computer locked up. Huh. Oh, wonderful. I'm gonna have to do some work on this computer. It's worse than the other one. Locked up again. Start from view. Oh, what's it doing? Let's hope we can get through this. Oh, wait, no. Uh-oh. Hold on. Yeah, we could do that next, but let's see if this will continue to work. They have to be I can display one image and then it crashes the program. Let me try a different way here. Oh, slideshow. I try it this way. Now my fonts are going to look funny. All right, I'm going to stop. Saw miss. Okay. It's kind of messed up, but I will go by what this is. It's not the sprain right, but this is an old flight. And you can kind of just see that the black lines, this is March 10th when I went back and did a lot of looking at both of the probes, and this is with the old FSSP. So that's in black, and the King probe is in red. And this is a time series. I see 81,650 to 81,950. So that's 300 seconds for 5 minutes of data. And the top is up to 0.5 grams per meter cubed. So, and the average you see there is 0.218, and the other one is 0.203. So we can look at that. And you see on this one how great it compares from going down to low values to up to high values. So you can get these to compare well, but this may be fortuitous because this is the best I've seen it. And a lot of times you don't see this great of agreement between the two probes. And even in here, you can see there's some disagreement. For example, right here, this would be like 0.35, where this is 0.4. So 0.05 difference, that would be on 0.4. So you get into 10% difference there. But that's pretty good. If you can get into 10% differences, that's the best you're ever going to do on these. A lot of times it's more like 30% differences. Any questions? This is just showing you good agreement between integrating the hot wire probe and calculating when a King probe. Again, sorry for my fonts, but what this plot shows is the FSSP and the King probe. And the FSSP, like the CDP, it responds to ice. So if you got big ice particles in there and you assume them are spherical droplets, you can calculate a liquid water concentration. So that's what's given here. While the King probe is responding to that ice, and you see a little bit down at the bottom. This is not the ice case. That's the next one. Sorry. Because you see, I can't even see my plots here. You see the little red in here. But what I wanted to point out is what this one is pointing out is this little offset here at the bottom. So there's a little offset in the King probe because you come out of crowd. So these spikes agree, although the King probe is a little bit low.
Those spikes are probably individual crowd.
Yep. Passes. So them are individual crowd passes, like a chemist crowd, And then you get out of the crowd in here. So you see, this is the outer crowd data. And with the FSSP, it just goes to zero. There's no counts in it. But because of that dry term not getting exactly to zero, you have a little offset of this. So that's what we've have a routine now to adjust that, is to pull that down to zero by looking at the FSSP, CDP data and saying without a crowd, it really should be zero by using that. And maybe I'll...
So you flag it?
No. So, and this is what I, for next time, why don't I pause this since Andy asked what we do. Let me pause here. And since I have a nice website, I can make this as an assignment for next time. And maybe I'll write a quiz on it to see if people will actually do it. But we can go to our citation paper. So if you go to my website, aerosol.atmos.und, and go into peer-reviewed publications, and go down to way back, not way, way back, but this one here, this is the paper we write about the citation. And see if I can pull that up. Yeah, so this is the actual published paper, a North Dakota citation recourse aircraft. It mostly talks about the aircraft. And I need to pull these pictures out and put in the slide. But why don't you read? You can skip all the stuff about the citation and the software. We have some of the software stuff in there. We have a list of all the data sets the citation did since, I think, 2000. It goes backwards. So it was up to when it was published. What? All the measurements in the 2000s gives you that equation. So the aircraft ice data processing. So if you read about this, it talks about the equation. Yep. So P is defined as atmospheric density here. And so if you read this, and the key is this figure here. And maybe I just pull this up since I don't have it in my PowerPoint. Since Andy asked how we don't flag it, we actually have an automatic algorithm that looks at the in-crowd data. So we define what we mean by in-crowd. And I think we do something, it says in the article exactly what it is, but there's a minimum dropper concentration, minimum basically defined on a crowd dropper probe. So something for a number of particles that it sees. And we have to use something like a crowd dropper probe or a imaging probe to know that we're out of crowd. And this is why our impact state is not processing to get the corrected data now for the WCM, because we got a similar one that's been implemented on the WCM. So what you do is you look for the in-crowd data, and then you have a offset we call a forward offset and a backwards offset. So you can see in the, you take a 10 second average, I believe, before and after. And you actually do a linear interpretation between them two values. And because they can change, that offset can change from one crowd pass to the other. So you interpolate that, and then you go back and you have the black here is given the measured LWC. So you have the liquid water content here, 0.03. So this liquid water black one is like 0.02 grams per meter cubed. So before we are seeing like 0.5, 0.8 in these cumulus crowds. Sometimes you might only see like 0.1, 0.2. Do you, Christian, Jen, do you remember what kind of like when you get in pockets, what's the highest liquid water you see?
I've seen three.
You've seen three. Oh, that's pretty good.
That was like, I think, right at takeoff. So.
Yeah, that's probably true, a cumulus crowd at takeoff. Yeah. What about in a snowstorm? Do you remember when you got in embedded pockets of liquid water?
I think it was two.
Two?
And that was like kind of high.
Okay. A lot of times you don't get quite that high. Anyway, so even if you have 0.5, 1, 2, this 0.02 is like 1% to, 5% maybe. So it's pretty low value. However, if you get into some very low values like 0.1, then you got a, 20% offset. And you can get a difference. So anyway, the black line is what we call a measured LWC based on just the equation. And then the blue is what we get once we apply that constant offset. So we take a measurement before and after, and you see it gets reduced, but you still have the variability here. So it doesn't go and like just set it to zero. Because all it does is adjust what that baseline should be. No, I take the negative values and kick them back up. So if you're down below the zero line, so it would actually rise it back up. But it's an average over this green time period. So you take that average and you take this average here, and you apply it to a time interval. So you got to define these in crowd, which are fragged. So the in crowd data is fragged, and then that's applied over a time period. But you can't apply this if you don't have any outer crowd data. So this is what they used to do. You could do it manually on the King probe adjustment. Other people would just manually put in the offset in their data before. This is just an automatic adjustment to the data.
Based on
the crowd dropper probe, if it's available. Otherwise, we have to use some other probe. Like I think we implemented a 2DS or a CIP. But something to tell you if you're in it or out of crowd. Yeah.
Can we do that? Like the CDP only goes up to 50 microns, where like the K and the P goes up to
50. Yep.
So does that take into account larger droplets?
Yeah, I guess the assumption here is that if you have them larger droplets, you would have some in 0 to 50. And I think you could do the combine, or you could look at the 2DS, for example, and use that instead. But I think what it does is it uses the CDP if it's available, and if not, the 2DS.
So they're larger than 50. I guess, you're saying you would still see the CDP, so you still have stuff less than.
Yeah. But if we don't have a CDP and we don't have a 2DS or CIP, then you can't do this correction. And then you're just ref with the measured LWC. And so then what do we do? Because if we give a data set, some of it's adjusted and some of it's not, then you have two different algorithms in there. But it actually uses the data ahead in time to correct all through this crowd period. So this has been implemented in King probe, the WCM probe, and an Azora probe. So we use this when we're in Sears crowds for both the liquid and the total water content. And so you can get some pretty low contents, like 0.1 or something, and have this adjustment in them hot wire instruments to adjust. So read my description of how this is.
So what do you think physically is causing the drift in so-called dry chrome?
Variations in humidity.
Could be corrosion on the sensing wires or coils?
Yeah, well, it's, yeah, the constants aren't right. You know, there's a fit to that airspeed. You know, you might have a different airspeed that is not taking that into account just right. Because you can, and the getting the density term correct. And all these, this dry term, getting it right is problematic. That's why with the WCM, they try to measure the dry term. So they put the sensing head and measure all the time without having the so you don't have to calculate it. And so that's what it is on the top of the WCM. There's a compensating element. So we can talk about that. So that way you don't have to calculate it, be off, and so you get closer. So then you can do that, and then you should be theoretically closer, and you do get better measurements with the WCM than the Zoroff than you did with the King. But there's still a little term on there. So I still apply that correction, although it's a minor correction most of the time. So it gets even less for this. So at some point, you're kind of, it doesn't really do anything.
That's hard to imagine the case where 0.01 grams per cubic meter makes a difference. Understanding the cloud.
It does with Nick Gapp's stuff when we're comparing to the radar. So when we're up in the Sears crowds and the clouds only have a total water content of like 0.1. And we're trying to get that value very accurately so we can use it to compare it to the radar data. And we did the adjustment for that, for the Nazorov to get us that 20%, because it becomes 20% or 25% then that we saw. And that was one of the differences between 2015 and 2019. So you see here, this only works if you have the outer crowd data. So if we're always in the Sears crowds and we turn in the crowds, we never have that outer crowd measurements to do the adjustment. And the same thing with like impacts. Most of the time you're in the crowd and you don't have any outer crowd data. So you shouldn't have to, you know, it's not good to depend upon that. So
this changes for every
setup. And no, it changes every crowd penetration.
Okay.
For this offset.
Yeah. Okay.
Crowd passes are identified
automatically. Yep. So it's like 10 seconds before and after. So you need a, and you them are adjustable parameters and stuff in there. So it's was more needed in the King probe data than it is in these newer measurements. But even in newer measurements, also it can make you lazy if you don't have a good calibration. This will kind of be a self-adjusting calibration. If your true airspeed calibration data is not good, you'll get that offset in there. So ideally, you should go back and fix your calibration. I thought I was going to show, see, I showed that one. I got a couple more. I guess I'll show you this one. This one's kind of important. Let's see if I can show this. Slideshow. Here's one. Oh. Is some ice contamination. And again, now look at how low these values are. So this is in a serious crowd. So this is pure ice. But it shows you that there is a little response, but it's less than like 0.001. So there's hardly any response to the King probe to ice crystals. That's the other assumption, because what if your mixed phase crowd, aren't them ice crystals gonna start kind of stick on there and evaporate? So they should just break off and they shouldn't evaporate on that wire. So in this case, they don't. This is just an offset for the King probe. However, what do we do with the FSSP? Because it assumes spherical particles, the ice particles, you get a few small ones in here, and you calculate, again, 0.03, 0.04 liquid water content. And it's all ice. I forget. It's like at minus 40 or something. It's Celsius. So should we go back and then frag this as impossible or something? But then exactly where would you do this cutoff and stuff? So we just process the data, give you liquid water content in pure ice crowds, and the user has to remember that this is calculated based upon the assumption that these are spherical droplets and it may not be truly liquid water. So this could get a modeler or someone in trouble by looking at the data and saying, oh, well, they measured liquid water with the FSSP. That's why the King probe liquid water is typically a better measurement, or combine the two. So, I don't know. I got another one. Here's a pretty low liquid water, 0.3. And you see, again, a pretty good agreement, but there seems to be a little offset here in time between the two instruments. You'll see that they don't spike right at the same time. And this is one minute of data. So I think this is every second, 1 minute data. And so there might be a little offset because they look like they don't match up quite right in time. And then sometimes you can get good agreements and sometimes bad. I'll show you this one where you have three different days and you get some good agreements, some bad ones. You need to use it.
I have a question. Okay. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Yep.
But do you have a key to the roof for the radome up there?
Yeah.
Can I borrow that for?
It's next door in the box.
Next door in the box. Oh, right over here.
Yeah. Okay. Ask Michael.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. So sometimes you get good agreement. Sometimes that's a good agreement. Why are they like this? To do that. High liquid water content. Here they seem to agree, but then you get up to a very high liquid water. This might be, again, because you actually get some above 50 microns. and you get to the higher concentrations, and you might have more and more of them particles in the liquid water.
So which one is?
The king is the black. So
the upper one?
That's yep.
They look kind of the same.
Lose the bombs. Oh. Yeah. How are you going to have not enough power to do the bombs with the water?
Yeah.
The hot wire is higher.
Yeah, the hot wire is higher. And this is only 2 grams. So it's not a huge 4 or 5. I think the WCM, it says it goes up to what, 10 before it runs out of power. So that's another thing, the WCM. Yeah.
I know ours, our DNP with the water probe was about 2.5, about as much as you can get.
Yeah, so this is only at 2 and stuff. So yeah, there's probably an upper limit there too.
With the droplet concentration calculation or something like that? Could there be a problem with?
There could be. But it's kind of weird that they seem to agree better at the lower end. So what's going on? You could look at the spectrums.
Well, if you have a coincidence correction or something like that,
if it's not right, the droplet probe would undercount. Yeah. So there's differences, and people play around with all them. Here's another comparison. Even if you get it right in the average for one, you have some outliers for this. So you could average that noise. Again, this might be a comparison for time. So why don't I try, hopefully by Thursday, I'll be able to put together my new presentation and talk a little bit about the WCM and get these all in there. So we can keep talking about this. But I gave you my old lecture, and we'll see if I can get some other stuff for the newer one. Stuff. Oh, okay. Any questions out there in virtual land?
Hey, I have a couple of questions here.
Yes.
You know, with the scales, we have this least count thing. So similarly, in this probe, in liquid, this wire probe, what is the least amount of LWC we can detect accurately?
I went through, and you know, if it depends how good you can do that offset, how well the compensation is. But you have these, you know, couple hundreds at least in terms of that. But if you want to really know when it's zero, look at the crowd droplet probe, because that counts individual particles. So it's a lot more sensitive. So there's sensitivity to the instrument. So if you want to be near zero, you want high sensitivity. The CDP is probably better for sensitivity. That's why we use it to determine in and out of crowd.
Mm-hmm.
So that goes back to what you want to use the LWC, what's your application. Sometimes the CDP is better, and sometimes the King probe is better. And also, I think we pointed out too that typically we don't define what we mean by liquid water in terms of is only over a size range. So the CDP liquid water is 2 to 50 microns, where the King is basically, I guess, 2 or some low value up to about 200 microns. But that 200 microns is about where you got 50% sensitivity. So it falls off kind of rapidly at them bigger particles.
Oh.
So that's likewise. The other probes and the Zorak probes and stuff. So we've tried integrating something like a 2DS, and we integrate that up to about 200 microns to get agreement with the Nazarov probe.
Well, I have another question following this. Like, you've showed the comparisons between like wire probe and FSSP and CDP, but how do you know which one is more accurate or which one is better?
You don't.
You just have two data, right?
Yeah, so where's the standard to compare it to? We don't have any standard because there's not a traceable standard. Because both of them depend on something like true air speed. So, you know, you could try to do a air budget. Typically, I say the King probe is accurate, or hot wire probes to 10%, and the CDP is to like 30% because you got that D to the third term in there. But that 10% is kind of a general rule over the entire concentration. And I wouldn't say it's 10% or something when you only have 0.05 grams per meter cubed. If you got a gram per meter cubed, it's probably 10%. So that becomes problematic when you compare it to other probes. Like, and you put these all together, and sometimes they compare well and sometimes they don't. And why is that? And you got to dig into each one of the instruments. And it becomes more problematic when you have 3 or 4 or 5 of these to measure liquid water.
Yes. Like, we often have multiple probes to measure same thing, like Nazarov probe or wire probe. And it's so confusing to, it's like, which one should I believe?
Yeah, it kind of depends on your application in terms of that. And also remember, they are actually measuring different things. Like the King probe measures up to 200 number per cubic centimeter measurement. And you got to know the limitations of the probe. Like Andy was pointing out, that there's an upper power limit to the King probe. So you kind of have to know the limitations of the probe. And also, I would argue that you have to know how well they've been calibrated and checked out. So, you know, have we done a bead test? The other thing we can do is, I mentioned that we went through and calibrated a crowd dropper probe. Do you calibrate that crowd dropper probe with a 15 micron beads or a 30 micron beads? So which would be better if you want to get good liquid water measurements? Anybody?
15, I guess.
Well, your liquid water is really dependent upon the big particles. So if you got the 30 micron particles, will contribute more to the liquid water. So if I'm interested in liquid water, I tend to use the 30 micron beads. Where if I'm more interested in getting the number concentration right, that's going to be more dominated in the spectrum at 15 microns. And so that's the inconsistency of the sizing of the probes, just putting in two standards. Which standard are you using? And we have a standard in terms of size, but we don't have a standard in terms of mass. I can't generate particles and challenge them with both probes of a known concentration.
And I was curious, what is the thickness of these wires?
I think I had it. Did I have it in there? What's the diameter of the wire?
It's a wire wound around.
Yeah, but it's the... It's not the wire, not the individual wire, it's the whole surface area that, or are you asking? Yeah, so I think Andy is mentioning that you wrap a small wire around to get the big, what I refer to as the wire. But it's that sensing element, and I'm not sure. Because I don't have it on my slide. You can kind of, I don't have any, and a King Pro picture, you can kind of see it. Is it like 0.8 millimeters? It's, and the other thing is like the WCM 2000 had two different size wires, which would again give you different water contents because it's sensitive to different.
Time response, their wires respond more quickly.
Yeah, I wonder if that depends on the temperature too. Also on that, but then if you, so yeah, time response of the instrument when you go into a crowd, we didn't talk about that in terms of instantaneous power. Of course, you can sample these all a lot quicker and stuff. So we sampled the King Pro at 25 hertz, but it's really doesn't respond that fast. So it doesn't make sense to sample it that fast. So I guess that's an oversampling. That's another reason why the time response is only on the order of seconds. So why sample it so fast and give you data, because it can't respond to a input of the atmosphere that quickly.
And another question, maybe this is the most silly question I have ever asked. If we have like a cumulus cloud, isolated cumulus cloud, or if we sample like stratocumulus cloud, which cloud type do you think will be sampled better by these wire probes?
Well, the cumulus clouds, I would think, because that's what I was showing. You got the outer cloud data. You have high liquid water content, so you got a high signal for them. You don't have mixed phase in the cloud. So we're going to do some comparisons. And of course, I didn't tell you this, but we look for clouds, like cumulus clouds, where it's all condensational growth. You don't have coalescence in there. So most of the all the particles are less than 50 microns. So then you can have good comparisons between the two probes. And if you don't get too high, you don't have a big, huge amount of liquid water. However, in a stratus clouds or something where you're doing ice and studies, you may be able to average over a longer distance. Mm-hmm. So if you want to compare to something, what are you going to compare to? And radar measurements or something would be, or a LIDAR system, you could average over where the inputs are not changing, where if you go into cumulus cloud, there's a lot of inputs that change quickly.
Mm-hmm. All right, thank you so much. I just have one more request. You have mentioned this paper. I think I cannot access it from my institution. Do you mind sharing it with us?
Well, there should be, did you try them all? This, maybe I got it because I'm at the university here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess our university don't have access to that journal.
Can you look at the, let's see if I go back. And I'm not sharing my screen, but I'll pull it up again. No, there should be PDFs on my website. Let me share my screen again. So, share the screen. So if you go under, this is a 2019 paper. So if you go down here, I'm serving these right off my website. So you should be able to get the PDFs from here. Here, I can put the link into the chat. Where's the chat? Top row. So can you just put that, you open up the chat. If you just click on that in your web browser, you should be able to access the public web server. Yes,
got it. Yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah, so that's the only place we actually talk about this offset correction that we do. And like I said, it was a lot more important for the King probe than it is for the other ones. So, but that's what we call corrected and adjusted. And there's a lot of different things to do to get these right. So yeah, look at the data and see where it's good and bad. And I don't know what else to say. You got to look at a lot of data. So yeah, read my paper, please. Other questions? So we'll continue. I'll try to get more on the WCM and the newer probes for next time and try to plot up some of our data. So we'll do that and I'll let you guys all go. Let's save up other questions for Thursday too. We can, or if you have the other probes. So, okay.